listening at Space Plane on CKUT 90.3 until 2 a.m. Get it, get it.
I definitely feel that the sting operation is authentic and it's underway. There are so many like hidden layers that we can't really see. There have been plans put in place a long time ago that weren't able to be fully exposed at the time that they were implemented. And this relates to white hats and positive military forces. So they've always been able to kind of handle anything that gets thrown at them. And they're able to kind of put the chess pieces in the right places, or, you know, kind of outsmart them or be two steps ahead. And, you know, because this isn't something that's new. And they're just well aware that, you know, these are the different tactics that the deep state is going to use in order to, you know, gain full control. I mean, it's something that has been, you know, written and it's an agenda. And there's many different cards that they play. And so for every card that they know or can sense that they're going to play, they have another sort of way to, you know, counteract it. And one of the ways to win a war is to really understand the enemy. You have to understand it to such a degree that...
That is Laura Eisenhower speaking. Which war? Why, it's the war against us. Who is the enemy? Why, the powers that be. The system that done been running the whole scene. The government.
You can, you know, outsmart it or...
And the media, of course. The education system, you know the deal.
You know, become the override energy or become senior to those lower forces. But the thing that they don't have that we do have is the spirit realms, the galactic, the benevolent nature of just like humanity and love and the earth and the planetary consciousness. And that power is so much huger than all the things that are trying to put it in reversals, you know, trying to, you know, gain power through trickery, deception, abuse, and all these different, you know, hidden projects and all these hidden operations that are really geared towards messing with our minds and psychological operations, you know, just to kind of hook us in so that we literally get consumed by it. So in the larger picture...
And if they don't consume your mind, they consume the minds of people around you, and you have to deal with that crazy bullshit when they're just running a bunch of programs.
Sense of it, that never can win in the end. But they're obviously trying.
It's just really annoying in the meantime, right, Laura?
Trying to delay the inevitable and trying to make us miserable in the process. And they'll do everything they possibly can to, you know, push us into a corner so that, you know, the next thing is we start to get even more enslaved through some of the weaponry, the next level of weaponry and AI and vaccinations and all these different kinds of things to put us in the most compromised, you know, position. And so the Mockingbird part of media and social media is their way to kind of push us into that corner. So we have to be willing to step into other alternative platforms and let those things expand and grow, knowing that...
Platform? How about no platform? How about your own psychic impressions into the plasma fields, getting you everything you need right at the right time? I'm talking about telepathy and the like. Being on some sort of external device or networking platform ain't gonna do nothing for your psychic progress, but fuck you up and tarnish your integrity.
You can't shut this down. And every time they try, we're gonna pop up somewhere else. And this is gonna keep building and building and building. And this is the times that we're in. This is why it's called an ascension window period. So I do feel that everything is going to come out where justice will be served and people will not be able to deny the fact that this criminal activity has been going on and this has been a fraud. But even if that doesn't happen, there's nothing that can stop. The light energy, the planetary consciousness guiding us towards human advancement and the awakening of human consciousness that is uniting together in the collective and the unified field that will absolutely do what it needs to do. And however the storyline plays out doesn't matter. It's gonna always claim victory. And the alchemy of it is that it'll allow the dark players to either join in and transform and heal and rise above, or there's going to be a major kind of separation, possibly like into like a phantom earth kind of thing, which, you know, Keelontic Science and others have talked about.
Phantom earth, leave them all in phantom earth. We're gonna transcend, we know our worth. Spirit play.
But the question is actually about the future. So if you have been looking at the future, if you have any,
you know,
insight into what the future is, whether it's for yourself or for others or for Trump and his team and for the United States going forward, the world going forward, et cetera, that's the question. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I definitely feel that there is sort of an end goal. It doesn't mean that you permanently arrive, though, but there's many different storylines that are going to be played out in order to reach that particular goal. And it's a part of what we need to go through in order to develop ourselves on a soul level. And, you know, we're busting through the personality matrix. We are learning to recover, you know, all these scrambled fire codes that has been called, you know, junk DNA. In order to do that, we have to break through the fences and seals that have been placed in our DNA, and those act as gatekeepers. So when we're starting to move those in, through those initiations, we're going to run into things and people and events that represent those gatekeepers. And in those moments, you know, we have to, you know, realize, okay, we're here to bust that down. We're here to, you know, move through that. But they want us to hit our head against that fence and then give our power away and keep recycling back into this system when it's an opportunity to actually, you know, jump over that obstacle, move through that obstacle, you know, or that veil and begin to thin it by being able to face, you know, what is concentrated in those fields of energy. And a lot of it is, you know, astral parasites. A lot of it is those archonic, you know, dark entities and belief systems, propaganda, mind control, all the dark technology, all the siphoning dark technologies that like to trick us when we're up against it. And the media does a masterful job at like hooking us in and tricking us into going backwards. And so instead of initiating forward, we're going backwards. And we might freak out, we might panic, we might think we're going crazy, we might have a nervous breakdown, and then go to the doctor to get on some pills or some medication, or, you know, be given some diagnosis or some label that we have to carry around thinking something's wrong with us, when we basically almost got through the fence, but we just, you know, ended up like feeling defeated by it because it's not the most confidence building thing. It's going to like kick your butt to the ground because they don't want us to move past those fence and gatekeepers. Because once we do that, we can't be a food source anymore. So what I see in the future is that, you know, we're going to build a team. We're going to come together more and more and more and more. And as much as they might be like trying to kick Trump away and this administration and all of us, then we go over here then. And our creative energy can get engaged in, you know, what's really available. Our true contact with, you know, higher benevolent beings that are working with us and are a part of this greater Earth consciousness. We need to like step away from this BS over there. You know, we don't need to mix our energies with them anymore. You know, the election can begin to collapse when we put our attention on cosmic and natural law and what's actually real and what actually, you know, really matters, where leadership isn't based in the cabal structure or hierarchy. It's based in we all support each other's missions and the diversity of what we've come in to this world with, as far as our roles are concerned, are beginning to come together in harmony, and that we all support one another so that our greatest gifts and abilities can be expressed. And, you know, we can work with the abundance of the earth medicines, you know, growing food, having healing centers, being able to go into a space where we literally become the stargates that we're meant to be. And we start to, you know, move through those initiations and those fences and seals and help each other and lift each other up when we're having those breakdowns and breathe through it. Then all of a sudden, be able to open the gateways and activate the galactic chakras, switch on that dormant DNA and begin to see a much, much larger picture. I just see that we're going to learn to hold space for each other more, learn to put our creative energy where it belongs, which is, all right, let's pull together some resources and get some land. Let's start to build some spaces here. Let's start to, you know, get everything going so that this false matrix system will be like, oh, wow, I'm crumbling because I don't have anything to feed off of. Where did all the hosts go that I'm parasiting off of? So, you know, there needs to be a big deprogramming centers, healing centers. Just we all put our creative energy and our missions and our real goals like over there, like different platforms, different focus. So even if these darker forces come, you know, that want to attack, that want to stop us from being able to do that, that want to, you know, restrict us and this and that, you know. I mean, we're lucid dreamers. We're stepping into, once we move through these different fences, the multidimensional aspect of things. So where one body dies, another one is reborn. I mean, we are blipping through so many different timelines all the time. That's why there's, you know, just the phenomena of like things like the Mandela effect. I mean, we got to drop the fear of death. You know, we got to stay armed and protected, but it's like we got to like live like dance like nobody's looking as a community. It's like you guys are over there. We're over here. We're doing our thing. You want to come and bother us? Well, we're already well equipped and we can handle it, you know, and we're getting more shielded. We're armed and like you know, so I just think the more we are ourselves and vibrating at the fullness of all that we can be, there will be no entry point on an auric field level, on a community level, on a, you know, every other kind of level. And we will be able to handle, you know, any kind of threat. Because the thing is, if we keep putting our attention on what they're going to do to us next, it lights up something in that fight or flight that they engage us and they start to infect our creative channels, that we become too much a part of a storyline that we don't need to be a part of anymore. So I feel like we need to be a part of it now. But there's going to be a point where we're going to feel a lot better about cutting the cords without feeling like, oh, I've been deplatformed or I'm knocked off this and that, which, yes, in these times is very, like, frustrating. But it'll make more sense as time rolls on that, like, we're being redirected over here. And they can, you know, play their games and be, like, little immature, like, ego, like, negative ego, draconian agenda, parasitic brats, and try and make life miserable. But the thing is, it's just, like, we're over here now, and if you want to come and bother us, good luck trying to penetrate the light field, because it's going to blow you back so far and so fast. That's if you right. Come in ill intention, because there's no vandals allowed. This is a sacred space.
No vandals.
So everybody's got to do their inner work. They got to get into the highest vibration of integrity. They got to do everything that they can to step up to the best part of who they are without feeling like if you have a bad day or if you failed or got off the wagon or, you know, didn't do it so great that that's a problem, you know. It's about community and love and compassion and supporting one another, you know, and helping one another to move through those times where, you know, we might slip and fall. And without the judgment, you know, and just to really, yeah, just be real with each other. And, and know that we all are seeking the same common goal, and that if we do make a mistake, that we all are in agreement to do everything that we can to take the higher road and self-correct, you know, and that's what we've all had to do to be where we are today. And so if we can give people that faith that a community actually exists like that, they're not going to just look at us like, oh, you know, these are those people. They're going to feel the warmth, and I know they already do, but it's going to continue to grow to the point where they're like, why am I sitting over here on Twitter? All the cool kids are gone. And then it's pretty dark and miserable over here, and it just gets creepier and creepier. You know, they don't realize, like, what they had when we were all around, you know? So it's like, come on over here and come home, folks.
Gentrifying the world.
I just see that growing, and we are co-creating this. So I don't like to do predictions, because I know that in each and every moment we're creating our reality, and we just got to step up every day. And my prediction is if we can do that, we're going to see something incredible happen if we take the challenge upon ourselves to be the best that we can be. But I don't see any other, you know, possibility except for all these dark and catalytic events to remind us that that's where we need to go.
Okay, thank you so much. And
Laura Eisenhower was because of her.
Learn to have patience with other people's programming. After all, I am the king of greatness. The insectiles are sucking up my complex number energy.
Thank you.
trying to pass the internet on, kid. But it's a booby trap, a back door. The parasites are gonna feed off your soul and replace you on this planet. I don't wanna walk around with a bunch of hollowed out cyborgs. Damn it. What's that behind your eyes? Bunch of termites. Something real ugly. And something bug-like. Hey, get that out of here, man. Get that out of here. With no lateness. You fucking with. And I'm gonna be true to my name every time I play this rap game. And nobody under any circumstances, any kind of rap battle like that, or video project about rap battles, 1989, with Daddy Freddy. Drinking a 40 ounce on the beach.
Well, it's been really awesome to be here with you guys.
Thanks, Laura.
I think it's just so important to just keep doing this kind of thing because our words carry a lot of weight. I mean, Mercury is connected to the magician, and our words, you know, can heal and uplift, and the truth frequency can dismantle the greatest of weapons, or our words, you know, can hold a frequency of the mind control or the fear and anxiety and darkness. So you know, just hold space for yourselves and just, you know, stay in gratitude and work on your own relationship with yourself and everybody in your environment and your family and your loved ones, and just take good care of the physical vessel and just keep, you know, breathing through it, and know that, you know, we're being pushed to the edge in order to, you know, rediscover ourselves, and that's kind of what it takes sometimes. And even if we're not totally clear on what's happening in the outer world, we can be clear about our inner world and you know, keep generating, you know, really good energy into, you know, the collective. And it's going to be, you know, pretty difficult for a while, but we're resourceful, we are committed, we're devoted, and we have more on our side than we can possibly imagine.
On the guest list. Remember that, those days? That was some dumbass motherfucking shit. You ain't gonna do that no more. You were just waiting to be in line to be written by some demonoid entity. Hot dog, these damn dudes filled with all that demon lust, jealousy. And you call that going out, having a good time, going out, check something live. Been kicking it live too. There might be something good going down, but you know what? That shit just going on every day in every aspect and every facet of life. I'm doing it right. Ringing bells, busting grip, rocking
getting out of duality to reclaim the fullness of all that we are is to experience the opposite of who we are, so that we can remember. And everybody's going to have their own personal event and that sort of moment in their life where they, you know, really start to stand in full alignment with it. And just know that if anything's contagious, it's that. And leading by example, you know, is the best thing that we can do. And just to hold, you know, a vibration of joy and know that there's certain things that we will never give up. Our soul, our DNA.
That's right.
And whatever it takes to protect those things, you know, we're up for the challenge, because we're not going to submit. We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to back down. We're not going to allow this to weaken us. We're going to allow it to, you know, strengthen us. Every weapon that they throw at us is a tool for our own awakening. If we can turn the weapons into tools for our remembrance of, you know, our spiritual powers and gifts and abilities, it'll collapse in the face of, you know, that acknowledgement. And yeah. So I don't want to, you know, kind of drag on anymore, but guys, you can find me at cosmicgaia.org. You can sign up for my newsletter and stay in touch. Get the platform. That's just a great way to stay in, you know, touch, and doing a lot of different meetings to, you know, build community and help people launch their missions. You know, just know that your higher self knows exactly why it's here at this time. It knows exactly what you need to do. So the more we can listen to ourselves and listen to our intuition, we will know what we need to do at all times. And you know, just be very careful of getting, you know, distracted and depleted and derailed, and just trust what's coming through, and it'll lead the way. And as it leads the way, we'll come together more and more and more and grow in this unified field. And that's, to me, like the way the immune system gets illuminated to wipe out disease. And we gotta illuminate the things that are good and that work and that are solution orientated to knock out the stuff that's trying to compromise. And whatever tactics they use, let it be a reminder of your strength instead of something that makes you feel like a victim, because we're not victims. Everything is pushing us in the right direction. So
thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much, Laura Eisenhower. You listening at Space Plane, CKUT 90.3. You're listening to some music done by me, the host of the show, Tony E. Break up with you.
I made your whole posse look like the Brady Bunch. Because the black that took the rap has now returned. The mic was mine, you felt the rhythm, and now you learn. Cause I'm the Quam, capital K, rap it all day. How with the pause button, slap it on play.
As the night goes on, so does this invincible, eager attempt to conduct the first rap symphony, consisting of the slickest lyrics ever known to mankind. With drum machine carefully MIDI to a digital sampler, he grows closer and closer to his goal.
How many breaks have been used, abused, misused? How many clues? I'm still confused. 9 times out of 10, I find times that when I hit my radio, I hear the same beats again and again. Well, won't it end? Don't mean to cause friction. They say that I talk in a contradiction. Though I hook up a break now and then, though they're unreliable, I compose, revise. The mic will recycle a metamorphosis. I better offer this challenge to anyone who tries to come off of this. So twiddly, diddly, from Harlem to Italy, rap you in the Little League. Intrigue a melody, compose on those so-called intros, impose, and close points which I gather, and I mean this. Lay back, boy, cause I'm the boy genius.
after his mother demands lights out. Kwame is forced to work in total darkness. Is this the end of the new beginning, or will he receive a beatdown?
Peace, thyself, the Lord Master. Islam is my belief, and I'ma blast my mic in orbit. Just like a satellite, forfeit, get off it, cause I'm the man that'll write rhymes. Spark your brain cells, entertain the pain swells, make your crew look like Charlie's Angels. Take your mic minerals, hip-hop vitamins, bring a lot of men, it be a riot when brother try again. I bought your grandma, my rhymes are torture, me I ran a demo. Red-handed, can't stand it. You plan it, rhyme bandit, beat your fanny. Shut up, can it? 4, 3, 2, 1, the bomb is on. Only book that I need is the Holy Quran. So I can manifest and address politics. They make my wallet stick out of my pocket thick. That's why I talk it slick. So, yo, does anyone know why I rap slick? Cause by taking the microphone, I'm rubbing my lips like chapstick. So I can demonstrate that I'm a hip-hop fiend. Mic the tool, ruling cool like Edie, I mean. Stand strong as a general, no sucker can stop me. With the strength of Gaddafi and my cousin's name Shafi.
After successfully completing the last verse, I wonder, is the rap world ready? Ready for this form of music? Are hip-hoppers aware of the dopeness, the hypeness, the super-deaf dookiness involved in such a man? A man known to the music industry as a member of the Invincibles, Kwame, the Boy Genius.
And you try to put a timeline for when these civilizations existed, and you get into a lot more details. You start studying the structures they left behind. You start studying the technology and the knowledge they had. Instead of finding this very linear version, like we've been told by mainstream experts, that knowledge was slowly disseminated and then here we are at the peak of it all, it's actually the complete opposite. We have actually fallen from a time of a great height of knowledge back to this point of being, I would even call it almost like a primitive mindset of being very unbalanced compared to what a lot of the ancient cultures understood. And so Constantine realized, hey, we really need to do something about this ancient history aspect of humanity, or we're not going to be able to control the narrative and control religion, which is what they eventually did. Is the Roman Empire ended up adopting Christianity, which had previously been illegal and they were killing people over being Christians. They adopted Christianity, and at that point, you saw these religious texts become greatly rewritten and the entire narrative became, you could even say, perverted. It wasn't just that it was inverted, but it was actually, it took these certain terms, and we're going to get into them, things like the serpent, things like the caduceus symbol and things like the swastika, and a lot of these later symbols by these Romans and then the Nazis and a lot of other later cultures took these ancient symbols and these ancient terms that had once meant very important things and inverted them to their opposite meaning. And so we exist in this reality today where it's very difficult for people to accept a lot of this information because we've been so conditioned around having a certain value that's been given to us for everything in life. How we feel about a certain thing is essentially told to us for how we should feel. You know, when we think of something like the eagle or the serpent, which we're going to get into, these famous symbols, people automatically have this picture that just comes into their mind and this definition that comes up for what those symbols represent. And it was a very clever thing. They ended up rewriting the entire narrative, but it wasn't just rewriting it. what they did, and we'll get into this as we go along, was that they actually went around and crusaded through these ancient civilizations, and they found any example that was a pre-Christian writing, and they essentially burned it, destroyed it, or, like the Vatican Archives, which is in Italy, the beginning of Rome, they confiscated a lot of those ancient texts from around the world, from various conquering, and they kept them, the ones that didn't go along with this narrative, they just put them in a vault underground. And for those who don't believe that, I highly recommend they look into the Vatican Archives. It's so obvious when you look at this stuff that it's a conspiracy, that it's almost screaming at you. But the first step to take, Greg, is to be able to accept that we've been lied about a lot of these things, that we have to go back and start over again in many cases and try to understand what was being said all along.
Don't I know it? That is Matthew LaCroix talking about suppressed history, Anunnaki engineering, and the eagle-serpent divide. Now, most importantly, the eagle-serpent divide, because that done been messing with a lot of people's minds for thousands of years.
With the idea that there was ever really a world not built on top-down abusive power. And I want it to be true, but what do you see as the best evidence that this was actually the case at some point? That it wasn't always about manipulation of the masses and top-down control in this caste system that we're so used to, at least in this round of human history?
Well, the first term I guess we can bring up is the ancients called these lost civilizations the time period that they existed, which is well beyond 10,000 years ago, and we can get into that. They called that age the Golden Age because it represented this time period that was very, very different than it is now, where corruption wasn't nearly as rampant and civilizations were actually built on completely different morals than they are now. You brought up the fact that here we are in an open internet time period where people can go and search for whatever they want, but they're more interested in reality shows in most cases and looking at something violent rather than learning about something that could completely change their lives. That has to do with the conditioning mentality of how society has been pushed a certain direction to view things. And in most cases, people don't even know that this information even exists, because the trick is that you only need to do so much suppression on this information before most people get it into their minds that it's not real. I mean, why is that? Well, today, we think that information, and historically, we think that information should come from these mainstream experts, these individuals at the very top of academia who are supposed to tell us what's real, and we're just the masses and we should just listen. Well, that aspect of academia and those experts became very corrupted later on. You could say after this violent period of the Younger Dryas, where human civilizations had to reemerge and restart themselves again, you saw a lot of really corrupted elements come into our societies, where certain powerful individuals in secret societies realized that, hey, we can completely control society and the entire message through these different means. And basically, when we try to go back to a time period that didn't exist, that's where we find all of these writings. That's one of the pieces of the evidence behind how we know that those civilizations weren't like that, because they left behind extensive records where they discussed the moral values that existed in their society and how we're just a very corrupted version of those. Now, another great piece of evidence that really proves it, if that doesn't do enough, is that when you look at what a civilization based itself on, the values it based on, you look at what was left behind from them, right? So if we were to get wiped out today, right? Massive comet slammed into North America and caused a dust cloud around the world, the volcanoes went off and we all wiped out. What would we be remembered by? Well, they would find a ton of plastic. They'd find all kinds of things that sort of distract us and take us away from the Earth, understanding consciousness, the universe. It seems like we have all these technological things that just distract us, to just keep us occupied with these different little games that are fun on little tablets and all these things that just keep our time occupied rather than us sitting there and scratch our head and being like, I'm sort of bored. I want to pick up a book, or I want to go on some internet journey down a rabbit hole to uncover these facts. What you find is that ancient civilizations didn't have that structure. And how we know that? Well, instead of finding those things like I mentioned, we find they built incredibly sophisticated structures that were perfectly tuned to different energies of the Earth and certain harmonic frequencies that had to do with connecting to higher states of human consciousness and the energy of the Earth. We also find that those structures were so sophisticated in their building style that in some ways we can't even build them today. And that tells you that they had certain values that are very different than what we share today. Another good example is most of the civilizations around the world that we can identify as being part of these lost civilizations, these ancient civilizations that had the knowledge that was eventually lost, most of them had these astronomical temples where they were basically representations of the heavens, the different constellations, and in some cases even the planets of our solar system. And these cultures were obsessed with mapping the different zodiac ages and the precession of the equinoxes and all of these aspects. That was their focus. They understood the importance of these devastating cycles that come through and the significance that they had to play with their time here was to create structures that would maybe allow them to continue and survive and continue to the next epoch instead of getting destroyed and having to start over again. So we find evidence for those civilizations having different morals based on what they've built, the writings they left behind, what they said in those writings, along with the types of structures that they wanted to make. And we can, of course, get into the Great Pyramid and energy as well, but I just wanted to get essentially your take on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it, man. Yeah. I think you're making a lot of great points.
I'm gonna say
be a big reason to suppress it. And I think many of us feel quite overdue for a new golden age. But I guess, yes, tell us a little bit more about the pyramids, or, you know, the network of pyramids. They're far beyond just Egypt, and your thoughts on them before we dive into the eagle and serpent threads that are quite interesting.
Okay, absolutely. Now, the first thing to get across, for those who don't know, and I'm sure most people listening know this, but for those who don't, it's a good place to start. When you're in school and you pick up the Rockefeller history book of our past, this rewritten version of telling us what's real and what's not, we find that, and this is shared by most of the mainstream, which is starting to finally erode now, they tell us that the pyramids of the world, anywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, but especially in Egypt, they tell us that pyramids were built so that when a great king or a pharaoh dies, he could be buried there. Sort of like if you go to a cemetery and you see those large stone, almost like a bunker structure for someone who's really wealthy and wants to be buried in there. That's what we're told, and people accept that very, very quickly. They think, okay, these are powerful individuals. They had unlimited resources. They could do whatever they wanted, right? Except for the fact that there's never been a pharaoh found in any of the pyramids of Giza in history. And that's a very shocking thing, though, because it proves that they weren't built for that reason. Well, some people listening will be like, well, how does that prove anything if they haven't found them? It just means they haven't found them yet. Well, no, actually, we know that all of the pharaohs of Egypt, the pre-dynastic pharaohs and the dynastic pharaohs, and we can get into that, what that means, they were all buried in the same place. They had this designated burial zone place, location called the Valley of the Kings, and it was over 400 miles south of the Great Pyramids of Giza. So this location, these sarcophagi that are all found in these different locations in the Valley of the Kings, we have all of the pharaohs we're looking for. They're there. They're accounted for. Khufu. And yet, the Great Pyramid of Giza is called Khufu's Pyramid. He's never been found in there. There's no writings inside Khufu's, this pyramid that state that Khufu built it. None of that exists, except that it was a way where if you have a timeline that only goes out 6,000 years for sophisticated human civilization, you have to try to fit it in there somewhere, don't you? So you go, okay, well, when did the dynastic Egyptians live? And they did live during that time period of around 4,000 BC. So then, okay, we'll just label Khufu as the one who built this, and then that way we can put it into this little model that everybody would just accept. Well, once people learned that Khufu was never found in there, and there's no evidence that Khufu ever even built it, and more importantly, we know that he didn't build it because of the type of technology that was done in the Great Pyramid. In the Great Pyramid of Giza, there are different shafts that point towards different constellations, such as Sirius and Orion.
Thank you.
the spirit fall.
There are extensive tablets that tell us the human origin story. Whether or not you want to read it in the Atrahasis, in the Enuma Elish, or the Myth of Adapa, and countless other cuneiform tablets, this story that comes up is basically a story about a power struggle here. That essentially boils it down. There's a group of beings, sky gods they call them, that came here. They state they came here and they wanted to create an infrastructure for a civilization. And like you mentioned, and the Ajiji were considered this lower status being, but still a god like them. And they eventually revolted and they decided that they would create this human race based on the compatibility that the hominids on the planet already had with them. And so essentially, like the Myth of Adapa states, they played around and Enki eventually created this being that we are disseminated from now, but it originally was almost like a perfect being, originally. This being that some biblical references call Adam or Adapa in ancient texts, this being was perfect in the beginning, but it wasn't supposed to be. The idea in the tablets was that Enlil and Enki, which are brothers, got dual ownership over this realm here. They were both in charge of maintaining it, and they took different roles within that governing structure, okay? So Enki, this mastermind, basically greatest of the Anunnaki in terms of understanding the cosmos and everything, he decided to create this worker that Enlil had asked to be created in Anu. But instead of, like I said, instead of just being a primitive worker, he created this perfect being. Well, this is where this great divide began. When you read the secret book of John in the Nag Hammadi scriptures, which is a Gnostic text that came out of a cave along the Nile River in 1944, it states that essentially some of these beings, these Anunnaki, became greatly threatened by this perfect being that Enki had created in their image, and that was us. And because of that jealousy over the fact that we could become potentially greater than them someday, since we are in many ways them, because that's how our genetics were eventually created, through sacrificing this god Kingu, who was basically the head of the Ajiji, to create mankind, these two brothers that had dual ownership became greatly divided over how they wanted humanity to be run and how they wanted our future to be. And these two symbols really get down to a lot of different levels, okay? Picture, if you will, a complete polarity of two beings. One of them loves us because he created us. He fell in love with his creation and wants us to advance and become our true potential in life. And the way to do that is to not conquer the physical world, but to understand what ancient cultures have told us all along. This triptych doorway that you see all around the world at these ancient sites those doors that you see, the three doors, it's representing three things that religion later corrupted. It's the idea of this connection and this crossing of mind, body, and soul. The three aspects that can turn us into our highest potential, okay? But the body, to be this vessel that we're in, to house consciousness, it has to be in balance with each other. The mind, body, and soul must be in balance to be able to reach higher states. But because that blueprint is known, the idea was that Enlil and others who were jealous, like I mentioned in the Secret Book of John, this Yaldabaoth figure, who's really jealous over this Adapa early man, he even states in that, and I encourage people to go read that. He states in that that because of that jealousy, mankind was thrown into the lowest form of matter possible. So you have this being that has all these divine properties that are connected to the Anunnaki, and instead of existing in a state where we can alchemically change our environment and create things out of our own imagination, we're thrown in this world of chaos, of war and division and constant distraction and deception that keep us in these lower states. And so basically what these symbols really represent is this divide that emerged between Enki and Enlil in how human civilizations and that collective of humanity would turn out, how they would be governed, how the values that would make up their society would be governed, okay? And so what you find, and it completely blew my mind when I was able to connect these things and study them, it really is one of those moments where you sit outside and you go, oh my God, it makes so much sense. When you look around the world at empires throughout history, any civilization that was based on conquering, it doesn't matter if you want to go from the Romans to the Nazis to the Soviets and eventually even the United States, this conquering mentality always followed with a flag